And now, Ben Bailey.
Judaism is no longer God's way of having relationship with His people. There are hundreds of thousands of Jews still today who think that you've got to worship by the old law, you've got to keep the Ten Commandments, you've got to go to Jerusalem. My friends, that will not save anyone. Jesus' blood is the only way people can be saved. In fact, it's the blood of Christ that is able to cleanse our conscience from dead works. I want you to notice Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14. Look at the contrast again. The Bible says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh," notice this, "how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Here you've got animal sacrifices sanctifying the flesh. But then you've got the blood of Jesus purifying the conscience and making the spirit right before God. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse our spirit and make us where we can stand before God. Revelation 1 verse 4, the Bible says we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Paul was told, or Saul was, in Acts 22:16, you need to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, "And for this reason, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the," watch this, "for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." People under the old law are not without hope. They're not lost. If they were obedient to the old law system, if they did the best they could to worship God and as the God told them, they kept His commandments, then God, through His Son, because His blood goes backwards, is able to forgive them of their sins also. And so, yes, people under the Old Testament have hope. But now today, we're under the New Testament, and we need to let the blood of Jesus save us. Now, there are a couple of other points the Hebrew writer makes in chapter 9 about the blood of Jesus. He makes this point in Hebrews 9, verse 22. This is such an important point about how blood equates with forgiveness. Notice the Bible says, "Without the shedding of blood," Hebrews 9, verse 22, "according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood." And notice this, "and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Now, friend, when we think about blood, it's used in a figure of speech to represent the sacrifice. We're not literally talking about the red substance that comes out of your finger when you prick it. Although that represents the sacrifice, that's what we're getting at here. Without shedding of blood, without something dying and giving its life in your place, there can be no forgiveness. You look at Leviticus 1 through 5, and there were bulls, there were heifers, there were goats, there were turtle doves. All these things died, and their blood, their sacrifice, was what God asked for during that time. Without Jesus shedding His blood, this world would be without hope. Ephesians 2, verse 12, would be without hope and without God. The blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, is so important to our forgiveness. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, He Himself, Jesus Himself, bore our sins in His own body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. Now, I want you to notice Hebrews 9, verse 27 also. Another passage that teaches us the importance of being right under the new covenant has to deal with death and with the judgment. Jesus is the only way, and one of the incentives He makes is, you've got to get ready because you may not have much time. We're not going to live forever. Look at Hebrews 9, verse 27. The Bible says, "As is appointed a man once to die," and notice this, "but after this, the judgment." It's appointed a man once to die, and then the judgment. My friend, we've not been promised that we're going to live forever. James 4, verse 14 says, "Life is like a vapor." Job 14, 1, Job said, "Man who's born a woman is a few days." Proverbs 27:1 says, "We're not to boast of tomorrow, for we don't know what it'll bring. At the most, we've got maybe 70, 80 years. Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12. And we need to realize, a man may live further than that, but as a given, God said 70 or 80 years. Friend, we must realize that life is so brief. 2 Samuel 14:14 says our life is like a glass of water. Once it's poured out on the ground, it can never be drawn back up again. Life is short. And we must, in view of death and the judgment, be right with God. Romans 14:12 says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we're going to give an account for the things done in this body, whether good or bad. Revelation 20:12-15 is a judgment scene where books are going to be opened and the dead are going to be judged by their works. And my friend, today we're going to be judged by the New Testament. Before you die and before you get judged by God, you absolutely must make sure that you're right in the sight of God. Now, Hebrews 10 is going to drive the point home about Christ's covenant being greater. And the main point of it is that the Old Testament sacrifices made year by year, they could never make anyone perfect. Notice how these sacrifices are inferior to the sacrifice of Jesus. I want you to see Hebrews 10, verses 3 and 4. Such a powerful passage about the inferiority of Old Testament sacrifices. Hebrews 10, look in verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, but in those sacrifices, the Old Testament ones, in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Now watch this. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Under the old law, what did you get with those sacrifices? You were reminded of them every year. And they could never really take away sin. Friend, this is the main point the writer's trying to get at. You want to remember your sins? You want to have a continual reminder of them? Stay in the old law. That's all it could do. They could never really take it. You want to stay in sin? You try to live by the old law, and that's where you find yourself. But with Jesus, there's no longer a reminder, but God promises to take away our sins. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Now, friend, let it be clearly understood. The Bible does teach that Jesus came to take away the first covenant and to establish the second. I've heard people say, well, you know, Jesus never really came to take away the old covenant. He just came to give some different principles. That's contrary to Scripture. The Bible says that Jesus did come to remove the first covenant and to establish the second. Notice Hebrews 10, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, previously saying, God, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and offering for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are according to the law. Then he said, now notice this, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Notice, he takes away the first that he may establish the second. The coming of Jesus, his perfect life, his dying on the cross, took away the first covenant. It removed it. Ephesians 2, verse 14 and 15. Colossians 2 verses 14 and 15, the old law was nailed to the cross. Jesus tore down that middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. And so to even claim today that we have any affiliation with the old covenant, my friends, is blasphemous to the work of Jesus, his sacrificial role, and all that he did for mankind. When we try to go back under the old law, we are in essence saying, Jesus, your sacrifice and your death and your law is not good enough for us. And so why would we ever want to go back and try to say, well, we live under the Sabbath today? We don't live under the Sabbath. Colossians 3, Colossians 2 makes that point very clear. Why would we want to say we're under the Ten Commandments today? Jesus' laws are so much greater than that. Why would we want to live under the Old Testament Levitical system? It can never take away sin. The old law was written for our learning. Romans 15:4. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Galatians 3:24. But when Christ has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. We today are under Jesus. And so such a powerful lesson being made here. Friends, here's one of the most beautiful passages in the book of Hebrews. I want to direct your attention to Hebrews 10:12. You won't find a more beautiful, a more terse statement, concise statement about the sacrifice of Jesus. Look at these words. Hebrews 10:12. The Bible says, and this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus, he made one sacrifice for all man's sin, all mankind's sin, forever. Notice how different that is than the old law. Daily they made sacrifices. Hebrews 10 verses 1 through 3. Those sacrifices could never take away sin. Jesus said in Matthew 26 verse 28, as he instituted the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, "This is my blood as he passed around the fruit of the vine, which is shed for many." Listen to these beautiful words. For the remission of sins. Acts 2 verse 38, they were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins." Revelation 1 verse 5, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We can stand pure and clean and holy in God's sight by the one sacrifice that's universal forever. Thank God that we don't live under the old law. Now, under the new covenant, it's clear that our sins have been forgiven and that we don't have to live the way we used to or they used to under the old law. But friend, I want you to hear today, for you to take part in the sacrifice of Jesus, for you to be a part of the new covenant, you've got to obey the voice of Jesus. You cannot become a part of Christ's covenant, have the efficacy, the power of Christ's sacrifice in your life until you're willing to do what Jesus said. You know, the Lord did so much for you coming to this life. He did so much for me coming into this world, dying for sin, living a perfect life, hanging on that cruel cross in agony so that we could have the hope of salvation. Friend, don't you want to become a part of the new covenant today? Don't you want to have your sins forgiven? If so, here's what God says you must do to be saved. The Bible says that you first have to hear the Word of God, the New Testament. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Once you've heard that Word, you realize it's the only source for salvation, then you've got to believe in Jesus. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, "Unless you believe that I am He, you'll surely die in your sins." But belief alone won't save a person. James 2:24, we see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. You've also got to repent. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Friend, then you must confess Jesus as the Son of God. Romans 10 verse 10, and yes, to contact the blood of Jesus, which gives us eternal redemption, you've got to be baptized. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Saul was told, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Acts 22 verse 16. How does a person contact the blood of Jesus? According to Romans 6, 1 through 4, we contact it in baptism, and after we arise out of the water, then we walk in newness of life. Friend, we're pleading with you today, obey the gospel. Become a part of the New Testament church. Let Jesus' blood enter your life through obedience to the gospel of Christ.